KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Where are we tonight?
Can you believe who's this
Why
dude between
did
us here?
You leave me here all alone. We searched the world over. Do you know the rest? Thought I'd found. That's an oldie from Hee Haw. Well, good morning to everybody, live and local.
Been gone for 3 weeks.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very peaceful 3 weeks.
I've been out fishing again, as usual.
You've been fishing.
Late to my Lake Vandy. Been on Lake Vandy yet?
No, where's that?
Well, just up north, take the camp road.
You better get on the radio.
Lake Vandy's hot, you guys. You can go in there anytime. Just go up and take the camp road. So if you're having a problem, just call and ask them where the Vandy camp road is at, and you'll be able to find something to eat.
Oh, no. We're supposed to be having a family-friendly show here, not a
And now
not
we
a,
lost
a
our
bean.
Both of our listeners due to that joke.
Did you get that joke, or did it take you a while?
That
not
one
as
took
long
me
as it
a long
to take it.
I don't... I have a lot on.
You really thought there was a Lake Vandy, didn't you?
No, I knew that. I knew there was going to be something going on
something
here.
Stupid,
but I thought it was
going to
be
mouth.
Funny.
I thought that hurts.
If you were out fishing today, you're probably sliding around a little bit.
I was out fishing all morning, all night.
The roads this morning, they're slicker than the bottom of a lutefisk pail, don't you know, Lynn?
Lutefisk and lefse. I bet I know where, at the end of the show, we can find out where you can get some lutefisk.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe
we'll find out.
Usually you can't get lutefisk by a sausage kitchen, but who knows in this state?
That's a sausage kitchen.
I was up in Chirica talking about lutefisk one time, and they said kazuntite. They thought I sneezed. They don't even know what it is up there.
We'll find out at the end of the show if we can get a lutefisk at the sausage kitchen.
Look at that triple
stack. The sausage kitchen.
Holy
look at it.
Sausage kitchen.
Moly.
Sausage kitchen.
Well, I mean, I'm usually kind of a little bit healthier in the morning, but this is a triple stack of all stacks right here.
Did you get that? Did you have to go to the new kiosk to get those?
Nope. Drive-through. I only had time for a drive-through. I was late this morning.
I was too. I was out fishing on Lake Vandy.
Yeah, Vandy, old crazy bugger. We have a fishing report. No, you don't get that here.
No, fishing report is that they're biting if you can stay above it. I about damn near drove into open water the other day, so kind of watch out.
Well, you know what, though? You're way behind schedule for that, Neil.
I drove into open water somewhere
around Thanksgiving.
So.
Thanksgiving's over.
Greg Hulsher and I were out. I was looking behind to see where he was at, and he was waving his arms. I looked back forward, and there was a huge chunk of open water.
Ooh.
So me and the four-wheeler bound down there went for a spin on Sunday.
You did?
Yeah, but it was in Dry Lake, north of Clark. If I'd have fallen in, I'd have just stood up. I'd have been fine.
Catch any fish?
No, that was a negative. I'm not sure there's anything left in
that
lake.
It had been up to his ankle. It only his ankle
I'm trying
deep.
To get a report here.
It's only ankle deep anyways.
I have not been out, but boy, lots of good fishing all the way from Devil's Lake. Oh, North Dakota. North Dakota. Did you see the advertisement for some jackrabbits? I know it's going to be a tough.
They sold the jackrabbits?
Well, I had to show my advertisement for some jackrabbits right back here. There's a big game coming up tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
North Dakota people know that. Mm. Most of the South Dakota people are stuck in.
Oh, it's the other crosstown rivalry because Henry plays up in Rossholt, so I figured that was it, but that's not the one. Cross-state rivalry. I guess that's a different one.
Yeah, I was all excited.
Well, we're going to stay in Watertown, South Dakota today. A year ago, Aaron came in.
Yep.
This year we get Randy, we get the pair, talking about things to do with your venison. And a lot of people have it still sitting in their freezers, sitting in bags, I hope. Not the whole critter, but there'll be some of that still. Some are still being shot. I think if the seasons have closed, they're opening back up pretty quick here too. So always fun to find out some ideas on what to do with our venison and what not to do.
Well, I talked to Aaron last Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, and he said somebody shot a deer opening weekend and they brought it in like the last weekend, and he said there's the easiest deer he ever deboned. He just shook it, and it all fell off.
Yeah. So let's start out with Randy and Aaron from Dakota Butcher here in Watertown. Thank you for being our guests. Let's start out then. That's a great start to what not to do with your deer and some of the things that you guys have seen over the years. Wow. I can't believe it. Randy?
Well, if you are going to leave it hanging, do leave the hide on it. That's the easiest way. It'll be easier for us to handle, and it won't shrink up as much, and we won't have as much work. We don't charge you enough to bone out a deer that's been hanging with the hide off.
It gets a little dry,
a little crusty.
A little aged.
And you don't get much back.
Yeah, I would guess it's called dried venison or dried.
Brought in two deer and I got a piece of jerky.
Just put it right, to send her straight to the slicer.
Well, that deer cools down just as quick with the hide on or hide off if you have them opened up, right?
Yeah, it sure does.
People always skin it because they say it has to cool down so fast, but that's ridiculous.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
90% of ours come in with the hide on, so.
Yeah.
Oh, do they really?
Oh, yeah. If they're not boned out. So we do encourage the hide on. It's a lot cleaner, for one. We get it, we hang it, and peel the hide off, and we can keep it a lot cleaner than we can with this skinless deer sitting on a pile of other deer. So
basically it's the hair and the when you say clean, it's more than likely just the deer hair, right?
Correct, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Oh, and then some if you don't clean it out good. If you don't field dress it nice,
if you don't bring your jug of water with.
That gets to be kind of a mess. But for the most part, I think 70% of the guys that are out hunting, they really know what they're doing. They've done it before. They know how to get good, clean meat. And those are the guys that we appreciate, too. I can tell you that when we get the guys that don't take care of it, clean it up the way, don't breast it out the best. The other thing that's important, if you do get a big buck, is one of the things that these guys need to know, if they do run across something they want to mount, they can't cut it all the way up. They can only go to that sternum with that if they're going to gut it out. It's a little harder. You can't cut all the way through the sternum. You got to leave that hide down there. So you get these guys that are in these tack shops or taxidermy mm-hmm. shops. What do I do with this? It's very important that if they do hit the big buck and they want to keep that hide, the same hide, they'll have to find a different one if they abuse it too much, just so they know that.
Or you can see the mount where it comes up the breastplate and it's got a little scar.
Open heart surgery.
Yeah, I should have done that.
They used red thread. No, they didn't have the right color thread. It's like red.
Just drives me nuts.
Needle and... The needle and the thread are coming out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how about these guys that, they go and they shoot the deer, they're all excited, they clean their deer, they put it in bags. What should they remember to do before they bring it to you?
Well, Aaron can tell you the bag story, I guess, if you want to hear.
Aaron, get in here. Come on.
Looks like he's half asleep over there.
Well, he's excited for this guy. Look at here. He's on. He's got his Nebraska hat, of course. That's a normal.
That's a lot of pride there.
Aaron's the guy driving around Watertown with the Dakota Butcher Suburban. And
too fast, I might add.
Whoa!
Does he get called in once in a while?
No kidding. Do you get a call, Randy?
Sometimes the guy's in a hurry.
His time is important.
Taking after his Grandpa Willie.
No, Willie doesn't drive faster, Clark.
Just tell him fresh meat, got to go.
Yep.
My brother-in-law's a hypo, doesn't work. We know that, don't we?
Yeah. I've used that one too many times, I think.
Yeah.
No, but we get a lot of guys that come in, bring it in with in the sack. And, first of all, it's even if you, dress it in the field, you should always wash your meat when you get home. Because there's a lot of guys that, you open that sack when they come in, and it looks like they shaved their head over the top of it. I mean, there's just hair everywhere.
Oh.
So I always tell guys, if you think it's clean, wash it again. Just always wash it again. And, again, make sure it's not a scented sack.
Oh, you mean when I go to my friend's place and we eat jerky and it tastes like Downy? Someone's made a mistake.
Every year somebody brings in a deer in a scented sack.
Is that right?
And every year, you got to tell them because the meat's pretty much bad. It's
even better. It's worse than the dirty laundry bag like that I use.
Yeah,
you can't even here, smoke that out of them.
I think he had 40 pounds, and I even dug to the middle, and you could smell the meat, and it just smelled like laundry.
No matter how much pork tallow you grind with that, it's not taking that out, is it?
So yeah, I always tell them, if you think it's clean, just clean it again. And at Dakota Butcher, we like to, everybody always says, I want to make sure, I bring it in at the end so I get my own deer back. And, that's not the case. We have friends and family that bring their deer in. So we're going to treat it, as good as we're going to eat it.
In the beginning,
to the end.
You get the same treatment as you do if you bring it in February.
Yep. We wash and clean every little piece that comes through. So we make sure only the best quality goes in. So everybody always thinks, I'm going to keep it in my freezer for 6 months and then I'll bring it in. Well, you're going to get just as good a product if you bring it in right away.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of times that'll be free. It's, you got to really take care of it. If they bring it in, you can tell right away if it's last year's deer. Even if it doesn't say 217 on it, you can still tell because most it has that freezer smell, and that ruins the whole batch. It really does. Or even if you want your own deer back, you can get it back, but you won't want it. You will not want it if it's not properly taken care of. So that's very important. Hey, I just noticed, guys.
What'd you have on?
See what I'm wearing?
Who are you?
PDR Youth Hunt.
Oh, hey.
You guys know what that's all about?
That's a paralyzed, disabled.
The week before hunting.
Kids.
Yep, they'd had a real good turnout this year, I think.
They always did. I've been involved with the PDR Youth Hunt since it started in Dean Rasmussen over in Clark. Yep. It's for youth that go out, and they're handicapped, and they put them in wheelchairs. If they're in wheelchairs, they have the proper tents or camps or lifts or whatever. So they take these 10 to 12 kids every year from all over the state and out of state, and they take them out with guides. And there's volunteers that guides. There's volunteer landowners that enjoy it. They absolutely can't wait for them kids to come out. And that's a huge, huge deal.
It is.
For those of you that are like the hunting aspect of it, these kids, they can't do it any other way.
Well, it's a good partnership with the landowners, too.
There's a lot of good
people out there that want to do good things, and this is an opportunity. I've seen the platforms. I've seen ground blinds. I mean, there's ways of integrating the things that we have nowadays to make it a pretty successful hunt for those guys.
This year, I think everybody got a deer but one, I think, wasn't it?
I'm not sure of the number.
Right after the first day, I think almost everybody had it except for one, and they went out the second day. I didn't hear the final bite, but I know they had a fantastic, fantastic year.
Well, if you talk to Tony over at the Collision Center in Clark, he'll tell you there's lots of deer in Clark County.
Well, I don't think Clark County has the corner on that market. They're all over the place. If you can't shoot one of those elusive creatures, just drive down 212 at dark. You'll find
exactly. Yeah. Talk to Robbie at the Sheriff's Department. He'll tell you there's a lot of deer in Clark County.
The numbers are up too this year. We brought in. So
are they really?
And a lot of big horns too this year. So our antlers this year. So I think have you heard?
Healthier.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's all about health. We had a pretty decent winter. It didn't really snow a ton till later in the year, so they were healthy. The pheasants were healthy. All the wildlife just did so much better this past year, and that brings them right into spring, and I think that contributed. There was a lot of big horns showing up. Well, you know what? They're all on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, they're all in the central part of the state, too.
Everything was just healthier, and then those does come through the winter, so there was a lot of yearlings or younger deer running around, and whack.
Lots of that. They're having a couple a day for a while there, it seemed like.
Yeah. No one's coming. Any calls on the ambulance service for them coming through the windshield
yet? Nothing like that.
Good deal.
But you hear a lot.
They get one in Wisconsin every year.
A lot of activity of, hit a deer, or, it's always in the morning. Sometimes somebody's got to pop one on their way to work, it seems like, or late in the evening.
So some of the ideas. what are the popular ideas for getting the venison prepared? I mean, what are they? What's the high demand items that that people have been asking for this year versus the past, or kind of trending?
Jerky. What is it?
You know, everybody, it seems to be a lot more people like natural, and they're going with natural and beef, and as far as not, once they try grass-fed beef, it's a different taste to it. So those that have that taste, they enjoy that taste. I think a lot of people are trying to try on that deer, too. In the past, I've noticed that we don't save as many steaks as in the last recent years. Now they're starting to save more steaks, you know, more butterfly chops, more steaks. You get the steaks out of the hind end.
Right.
They are saving more steaks, and it's, I don't know if there's there's probably recipes online finally telling them how to cook it, right?
Might be.
And,
or
that
a YouTube
maybe
video.
And
just for Randy, that hind end is the part you usually shoot out of a deer. Oh. So you don't have no idea what he's talking about.
That's the reason you don't get your steaks back.
That's why I don't get my steaks back.
You're sausage man. You're the sausage man.
Randy hunts when you could put his deer in my cup when he's done.
Yeah. Well, I just pick the pieces up one by one. And bring him over there and I said, do your best.
Isn't that interesting, though? They're trending is also in lamb, that grass-fed lamb. That's just getting to be a huge
goats.
Goat. But then into the beef, the grass-fed. I think, and there's it's all the stuff that people are reading on the internet. But what's the most popular grass-fed, corn-fed critter we have, and natural is the venison, and that is interesting that you're starting to get more calls for people wanting to save the chops, and I'm sure figuring out how not to overcook it is a big part of it, but just little things you can do with them.
Throwing some bacon around a loin chop, you know, that defeats the purpose of having a real lean piece of meat, throw bacon on it, but
you're going to get some good flavor, though.
But it doesn't dry out, and you still get that venison taste. I mean, you wrap those there's all different names. Some of them call it tenderloins, but that inside loin from the cavity of that deer, Randy, you probably can give us the real term to what that is.
No, that'd be the tenderloin, too. They just have to be careful when they're gutting it, that they don't carve up into that cavity too deep. And a lot of times we can't save it because it's all tore up.
Or they've dried out before.
And it's dried out,
So you essentially take that out right away, put that in your in a little baggie, and that right there, everyone, if you don't already know it, wrapped in bacon on the grill is the most unbelievable.
That
part
don't even go in a baggie at my house. It gets ripped out in my hands and on the grill the minute I shoot it. And then the rest of the deer you can keep. I can care less.
I mean, if there's one thing here that is darn good, and if you don't have bacon, I know where you can find it. Right. On the east side of Watertown or the west side at your local Dakota Butcher and in Clark. Anyway, we're going to...
We got a couple seconds left here. We're coming up on the holidays. You know, you guys are, I always said you're like a bait shack short of the perfect outdoor store. So what should you get for an outdoorsman over there?
Well, first of all, we're going to get a bait shop, bait shack now. No.
Perfect. If he gets one, I'm never stopping anywhere else. Sorry.
So you can get your snacks,
your
Aaron
meat
was telling
sticks,
us.
Cheese sticks, booze and bait. I'm
yes,
done.
Yes. Blueberry meat sticks. You can get your blueberry meat sticks before you head to
blueberry.
The lake.
Blueberry.
The blueberry's awesome. I think that.
Barbecue apple, I think, was the last one I tried over there, Clark. Is that a new one or something? It was
barbecued apple.
Yep.
Holy moly, that was great.
They come up with a lot of different ones all the time. Some of them are seasonal.
That barbecue apple is good, though. I put the herd on a few bags of that.
I took a crew from Madison into the one over here on East about 3 weeks ago. We ate lunch, and the guy walked in. He walked over to the east side, looked at the meat shack, and he said, "This is close as you can get to heaven." I kind of like this. I can get my beer, my cheese, my meat.
Yeah.
And so, even head cheese if you play your game right. You can
get you
cheese
can? And can we get lutefisk? Now we'll let Randy take over.
Of course you can.
You can get that.
The other thing, a lot of these guys that do have their, we try to get them all done, but when they're doing 700 to 1,000 deer orders, we can't get them all done by Christmas. We try to get as many as we can. If you do have them back, You do get a lot of sticks or jerkies or whatever you get out of your – a ring bologna, too, is a very popular item, and a summer sausage is our biggest. You were talking about what do we do with that deer. Our main things are we do a lot of beef or deer sticks, then a summer sausage, then the ring bologna or a country style. It's, you know, that country style you can eat in the breakfast in the morning with your eggs or for a dinner, for a lunch menu. That's a great item. But the other thing I was going to suggest is if you're going to go out and you're going to give family away, we got Dakota Butcher Cheeses. You can come in there and give them their sticks and their cheeses, their summer sausage.
That's great.
The whole works right there. And while you're out hunting, don't forget to stop in and get that stuff.
And I'll tell you one of my best ones.
Or fishing.
Or Grandma's Coogan.
Have you ever tried one of them? You've got to try one of the pizzas they make, too. Holy smacks. They got to be thicker than your fist.
So they take care of the Italians, too.
Boy, the pizzas are good.
I mean, they got the Russian Germans with the Kuchen.
They cook it there for
you. They got the Norwegians with the lutefisk.
But I got the word for the PSA for all the Norwegians out there. You better get to the Dakota Butcher, get your lutefisk today, set it outside, let the dog pee on it so it's ready by Christmas.
Yeah.
Otherwise, come on, you won't be seasoned properly. You're talking about my grandpa's favorite meal this time of the year.
I always tell my dad, set it outside, let the dogs pee on it so it's ready to go.
Oh, does he eat it too?
Oh, geez.
Oh, so we're not discriminating here?
Oh, no, it's terrible. We eat it.
That's why the Vikings were so mean. Don't you?
Once a year.
Yeah, it's why the Vikings were so mean. They had to eat lutefisk. They killed everybody.
They didn't care. They didn't care.
Well, we're digging into Randy's news.
Eat it again to get them Vikings a little meaner, don't you think?
Yeah. They need it. Yeah. They need it.
Well, guys, give us some hours, locations. Come on in, Aaron. Give us the last hurrah here before we take off.
Well, we're open 7 days a week, unfortunately.
Woo! That is tough. That is tough, yes.
8 to 8, Monday through Saturday, and on Sundays we're open 11 to 4. So we worked long hours to try to get that deer done. So.
Yeah, deer, but there's so many other things going on at the
prime rib.
Randy, did you make one of those big purchases of prime rib
again? We
did again.
Yes, we got them up in the pallet racking in the store. We got them aging, and they're good.
And that's why people stop at Dakota Butcher. There's the difference. They age that stuff.
That's right. If you're in Watertown and Clark, just stop by Dakota Butcher. It's a great place to stop. Anything you need to eat, drink.
Another week on the water, in the air. Now we know what we can do.
Thank you guys very much.
All right. Thank you guys. Appreciate the show. Randy, we're going to send that over to you. Thank you.
Randy's in the studio today.
Thanks, Randy.